This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health News Digest, where we discuss the latest in health news. My name is Tina Camilla. Also in the studio is T. Shawik. Here are the stories line up for the hour.
Yes, in conjunction with International Anti-Corruption Day, which was yesterday, the 9th of December, we will look at the complex issue of corruption in the healthcare system.
And in an open letter to the Minister of Health, a contract pharmacist claims that the first batch of pharmacists under contract service are in the dark over where their permanent posting will be, while many more have been left disappointed as they were not offered any positions. We speak to the Malaysian Pharmaceutical Society about what this means for these 500 contract pharmacists.
If you are a contract pharmacist who is currently in the same boat, let us know what you are going through. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio.
In the meantime, here's Jet with Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is, BFM 89.9.
The Health News Digest on the Bigger Picture. BFM 89.9.
Thanks for sticking around with me, Tina and Shawik. As mentioned earlier, yesterday was International Anti-Corruption Day, so we'll take a look at the issue of corruption in healthcare, which exists at practically every level of the system. In many countries, healthcare is among the most corrupt sectors, and people do suffer and die because of this. It disproportionately affects vulnerable groups who do not have knowledge, money, or connections. Corruption from the highest levels will trickle down to affect healthcare received by patients at local healthcare facilities.
Yes, so in an interview last year, we spoke to the CEO of Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy, Azrul Mohamed Khalib, who helped us to summarise the findings from a UN report on corruption in healthcare. So here's a snippet of that interview to give us an idea of what corruption in healthcare actually looks like.
Inevitably, what happens is that it affects the very right to health that you have. Corruption in itself exists in all levels of a healthcare system. We're looking at issues like illegal fees being imposed, unnecessary medical treatment. You have deception in billing, which is quite rife. Misuse of authority or power, bribes for illegal procedures, things like absenteeism, selling of licenses by regulatory bodies and so forth.
That was Azrul Mohamed Khalib, CEO of Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy, explaining all the various ways that corruption sort of eats into the healthcare system. And, you know, it's, I mean, I was just, when we were talking about this topic, it really occurred to me that we don't think about the healthcare sector as being vulnerable to corruption, right?
Yeah.
We think about law enforcement or politics, so many other sectors. But healthcare, you have this idea that it's pure. And okay, I'm being naive.
No, but it is supposedly a noble field of profession,
yes.
I suppose, right? But let's take a closer look at some of those healthcare-related corruption activities. Let's start with governance. Good governance can be compromised in healthcare when powerful individuals, companies, or groups use corruption to influence policies to benefit their own private interests. This can range from systemic corruption, bribes, favoritism, to undue lobbying or lack of transparency in trade and investment agreements.
So I think this is probably the highest level, the highest level at which corruption can exist, and also maybe the most subtle, the most opaque, where it's really very hard to...
Because sometimes it's a matter of intention, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't prove intention most of the time. You can just say that, oh, but that's just, you know, I'm not doing it because of favoritism.
Yeah. And it's so subversive as well. At that level, if it affects policies, it's really going to cascade down to right down to the consumer, which is many, many levels.
That's right.
In between, yeah. There's also regulatory practices where corruption there would affect safety of medicines, training and standards of hospitals. So these are the kinds of things that involve officials demanding gifts, favors or payment in return for providing approval or accreditation of, you know, it could be medications or accreditation of healthcare professions or even healthcare facilities and colleges and training institutions.
Mm. And then there's R&D, where potential conflict of interest can arise when researchers receive funding from companies. This may result in skewed studies or the underreporting of negative findings. And in turn, these biased studies can affect healthcare decisions made by unwitting doctors or patients.
Yeah, and we have a lot of that surfacing now as people are looking at these studies with a more discerning eye now.
Yeah.
And even journals and universities, research institutions can become prey to these kinds of conflicts of interest. So they have to be very careful there as well.
That's right.
When it comes to marketing activities in healthcare, things like receiving or giving of gifts, sales incentives, implicit research grants, or where suppliers distort the presentation of evidence relating to the benefits and harms of medications, or when companies get healthcare professionals to act as spokespeople for specific products, these are all ways that marketing activities can be abused. And there are also more subtle practices like improper post-marketing trials, false or misleading product claims, or using disease mongering to sell your medication or your device, basically.
Yep. And procurement activity in the healthcare sector can also be open for abuse. Corruption can happen in the purchase of products, supplies, equipment and related services, as well as the commissioning of the construction of health facilities. When it happens, corruption in procurement wastes resources and potentially leads to dangerous products entering the health system.
And we'll be talking a little bit about that later. But there are also other areas where corruption can be rife, like distribution and storage systems. If those are weak or those are being abused, it would lead to fake and substandard products entering the system, or even things like repackaged, non-sterile and expired products being delivered to patients. Corruption in the financial and workforce management would lead to things like funding being embezzled, false reimbursement claims for services, or inappropriate HR practices involving promotions or recruitment.
Mm.
And even things like, you know, unnecessary referrals and procedures like tests and screenings and all that. I didn't know that even those can be... It's a form of corruption as well,
yeah.
which makes sense, actually, because it's about using your resources inappropriately.
That's right.
So here's Azrul again. In the same interview from last year, where he gave us a rundown on how corruption denies people their basic right to quality, life-saving healthcare services.
Corruption exists as a result of inefficiencies or ineffectiveness of systems that are in place. Corruption fills a vacuum. If you are poor, you're unable to access as much healthcare than if you had more money. People who had money could demand caesarean. They looked at a situation where because you had less money, you were not able to be at the front of the line. You actually had to start from the back, and you were always put in the last priority or less priority compared to those who had money. Those who had money could actually bribe their way to the front to be able to get the healthcare that they needed. And when you look at it from the issue of procurement of drugs, for example, in a country that is very, very corrupt, you find that the drugs that you are able to access differs when you have less money compared to those who have money. And in many cases, in countries like Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, you could actually lose your life as a result of it because you don't get the healthcare that you need.
Now, that was Azrul Mohammad Khalib explaining how corruption isn't just about dollars and cents, but can affect life and death.
Yeah.
As you were alluding to earlier, Shaoik, we're coming to Malaysia and look at some of the real cases that are happening here.
Yeah.
We've seen our government's effort in addressing corruption in the healthcare sector, starting with the cleaning up of 23 sick projects and firing contractors, where most of the projects were awarded through direct negotiations to developers with no track record. Some of these projects include Hospital Rembau, where delays have cost government an extra 8 million ringgit. Hospital Petrojaya, a 495 million ringgit project, is only 35% complete after 5 years of work. And Hospital Sri Aman is 16% behind schedule. And that's just three out of these 23 sick projects.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but Petrojaya and Sri Aman are both in Sarawak.
That's right.
Yeah, where there's a huge need for more. These are a few hundred bed hospitals as well. And currently, because these projects are being delayed, the general hospital is having to bear the burden of... So that's where we see the life and death issues coming to the fore. In another report, the MACC, the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission, is investigating whistleblower claims reported back in June that Pharmaniaga is allegedly monopolizing the supply of medicines to the government, where tendering agents are linked to high-ranking officials and politically owned companies. So in October was the most recent update. The Star reported that the Ministry of Health has been cleared after a task force, which is headed by the Economic Affairs Minister, Dato' Sri Azmin Ali, and comprising the Health Ministry, Transport Ministry, and the Agriculture and Agro-Based Industry Ministry, was set up to investigate procurement issues. And the Minister of Health, Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad, says that MOH adhered to all drug supply procurement procedures and followed guidelines set by the Ministry of Finance for terms of the concessionaires. In that whistleblower's document from June, it also alleged that apart from Pharmaniaga, there were more than 70 international pharmaceutical companies which are implicated, and their practice is to all use the same six tendering agents. So the question there is, you know, when you only... all your bids revolve around the same tendering agents, is there a monopoly there as well?
Right. Or is that just the only way... Right.
Well,
it might be it is somewhat common practice.
Yeah, I mean, I guess one argument
doesn't excuse the monopoly.
It doesn't excuse the monopoly. One argument could be that, oh, these are agents who are familiar with the process, who have a track record and all that. But at the end of the day, what you need to is to have that transparency so that it's clear who these agents are. If they have links to politicians, then that's clearly already an abuse of the system.
That's right.
Another thing that has come up is the review of the patient access scheme. So this is a scheme where pharma companies provide free medications for certain cancers and rare diseases to government hospitals as free packs or bonuses. So these are actually tied to the procurement of other medicines by the hospitals. And then as part of it, they give for free a certain number of these. They are probably very expensive medications for cancer or orphan drugs for rare diseases. So that's actually undergoing a review because there's concern about the bonusing scheme there and whether there are any kickbacks involved. However, the ministry did assure patients that their access to the medications wouldn't be affected by this review. And lastly, the Ministry of Health is also proposing a mechanism to control the prices of drugs through the Price Control and Anti-Profiteering Act of 2011 to ensure the affordability of medicines for patients. So we asked Amrahi from the Malaysian Pharmaceutical Society, he's the president, for his thoughts on why this is important for consumers.
This issue is a long ongoing issue and causing a lot of problems for the rakyat, because of the fact that for one drug you have so many prices not equal and so on and so forth, so it's very damaging. And medicine prices are inelastic, meaning it's not a commodity, it's a need, it's a requirement, you know. Okay, so from the point of the consumer, it's really amazing to see why they go to different channels, they got different prices. So I think some form of price control mechanism has to be in place.
So yeah, that was the president of the Malaysian Pharmaceutical Society, Amrahi bin Buang, about the importance to have a control on the prices of drugs.
Who knew there were so many different ways that the healthcare system can bleed resources and be abused, right?
Yeah.
Before we move on to the next story, I'd like to recommend watching the 2018 documentary, The Bleeding Edge, which is available on Netflix. It focuses on the negligence in the regulation and R&D in the medical device industry in the US. But although this is an American documentary, as the saying goes, when the US sneezes, the whole world catches a cold, right?
Yes.
So check it out. Really eye-opening stuff. Anyway, coming up next, we'll hear more from Amrahi Buang as we discuss the open letter to the health ministry from a pharmacist. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.